Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
I've only just recently got glasses, so I don't really like wearing them all the time because I can't work out, like I need them to read my Bible, I can't read it without them, but then I don't need them to look and it's really annoying. So anyway, if I get the words mixed up, you'll know why. Well, let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this morning. We can just come into your house. We can worship you with our whole hearts, our whole bodies, Lord God. And we can just soak in your presence and hear your word and be family together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was trying to find one of those, you know, funny stories to start off my message. And so I was looking through the internet and thinking, oh, you know, surely someone's come up with a story. It was about listening. And, you know, there was a whole lot of stories, but they were completely irrelevant. And I was getting really annoyed. And I said, oh, Jesus, what, like, surely there's a story, something, I need to start this message somehow that's just not, you know, straight in there. And then I remembered about our dog called Morris. You see, as we've got to know Morris, we've discovered things about the way that he barks. And if you've got a dog, you probably have noticed this too. Morris has the cement truck coming up the road bark. There's a cement truck that lives down around the corner from us. And every time it comes up the street, no matter what time of day it is, morning, night, anything, he will be up there. He can hear it coming. And he's at the fence ready to bark it up the street. He has the siren howl, which he'll just listen, the ears will, it's coming. And then just as it gets past us, then the howl starts and then it stops. One of the ones that really annoys us is the COVID social distance, don't dare hug. If we are in the house and any of the kids, I go and hug any of the kids or Jeff or anything, he is at the door barking at us to stop. It's quite, yeah, impressive. Anyway, he's got all these different sorts of things that he does and different barks, and you know what he's going on about. But one day I heard a different bark and it would just sounded a bit, you know, was strange, and I just felt like I should take notice. It turned out to be just a blue tongue. But what I realised is it could have easily been a snake. And so it was definitely a bark that I wanted to take notice of. It was a bark that, you know, it was worth listening to. And, you know, there's so many voices around us. So many different things, so many activities, so many things going on, so many things vying for our attention. Some of them are really amazing. Like, they're really cool. Some of them are really annoying. But when a voice cuts through that brings life and hope and love, that is a voice that it's worth listening to. That's a voice that I want to stop and I want to hear. And in the passages we've been reading this week in John chapter 5, there is so much stuff in just that one chapter that I almost felt overwhelmed by, where do I go with this? There's so much in it. But then I was drawn to just that one picture of, you know, Jesus just wandering through past the pools of Bethesda. And when he, you know, this the picture that this creates, it's an incidental moment. And in that incidental moment, Jesus completely transformed someone's world that wasn't even looking for him to step in. There was no fanfare for this miracle. There was no crowd watching. There didn't seem to be, you know, this throng of people around him. It was just almost an in-passing moment. So the Pool of Bethesda is, said to be a series of reservoirs and pools. And they were surrounded by some colonnades, about, five, it says. Bethesda means house of mercy. So it was a place where people would come. It was said that these waters of these pools had healing properties of some form. There was a thought, and in some translations of the Bible, it says that it was thought that an angel would come down and stir the waters, and if you were the first one in the pool, you'd get healed. And so that's what was happening this day. There was a whole lot of people just lying around these colonnades. They were lying waiting for maybe this angel to come and the waters would be stirred and they could jump in and get better. It says in the Bible that these pools were located near the sheep gate, and it sounds really agricultural because it was, because that was the gate where they'd bring the sheep in for sacrifice to the temple, So it was just, like, if you can picture that bizarre scene of people lying around waiting at these beautiful waters, but then probably in the background this strange noise of sheep and, shepherds, and it would have been interesting to say the least. But anyway, there's one man in our story who'd been there for 38 years. Well, he'd been ill for 38 years. He couldn't walk. And today he was lying there and he was waiting. And Jesus was wandering around the people and the pools. It seems like he was on his own. There's no mention of other people, although the story has been translated somehow. But he just stopped and he chatted to this man, just stopped, saw him there. It's like, having a chat. It's like, found out how long he'd been there. And then he just said to him, "Do you want to get well?" And the man didn't actually know who Jesus was. He just calls him Sir. He had no idea who Jesus was. And he probably thought that question was just a little bit random because, like, yes, that's why I'm here. Everyone knows that if we wait here, we might be able to get well. But his problem was that he didn't have anyone to help him. He didn't know that this man Jesus had something special about him. He was just having a constant, incidental conversation with a person walking around. And so when we get to that point where he is healed, we realize that his healing didn't happen because he had any faith whatsoever. Like, he had nothing. He was waiting for an angel and that maybe someone would help him, but not expecting that to happen. He had no faith in this man standing in front of him. He was a stranger. And I found that quite remarkable, actually, because so often we read these stories and we heard about a lady last week who had immense faith, and all she just said, "If only I touch Jesus' robe." And, Jairus, who believed that, Jesus could make his daughter well. And we see all these people that have great faith and we think, "Oh, I don't have that faith. I just don't know if I have that faith." And so I read this story and I think, This guy didn't have any faith. And no one else around him was believing for him either. It was just this little conversation. And when Jesus spoke to him and said, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat and walk," he just did. He simply listened to the voice of Jesus and obeyed it. And suddenly he was healed. He listened and received a blessing. He listened and life came into his body again, full and complete. And that's all in just, you know, 9 little verses in the Bible. And so then, like, I start getting excited. I think, well, so this is completely different. So what does that tell me about Jesus? What can I learn? How can I take this one little thing, this little story that I've read, and what does it tell me about Jesus? What I see in him is that the voice of Jesus has an authority completely in its own right. It's apart from reputation. It's apart from, you know, anything that preceded him or anything that was said about him. It was just simply his voice that the man listened to and accepted, had an authority in it, and something that was worth listening to. So then I start to question. I think, oh, do I do that? Do I listen to Jesus in that way? Do I shut out all the other noises that are going on around me and just listen and see what just Jesus has to say? In John 5, verse 24, later on down the passage after the story, Jesus is having to have this conversation with the Pharisees who reprimand the man for carrying his mat on a Sabbath. But Jesus says to them in verse 24, he says, "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who has sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live." The voice of Jesus has immense power and authority to completely transform our world, whether we believe it or not, whether we have faith in him or not. His voice speaking into our world can change things. And I just really believe that today, that, you know, there might be people here that think, I don't know if I believe Jesus. I don't know if I can have enough faith to get my situation changed. But what I really see is that it's his voice that has power. And his voice today is here. This is his voice. This is his word. And this little book that, you know, seems so hard sometimes, it actually has amazing power to transform our world, because it's the voice of Jesus speaking. I don't think that, you know, we stop listening just because we might have heard Jesus once. We might have heard him, you know, speak into our life and call us to know him. We say yes, and then that's it. I don't think we stop listening at that point, because I really believe that his voice can touch every single part of our world. It can touch the good bits and it can touch the bad bits. And when I think about all the voices that I listen to, I get a little bit concerned about myself sometimes. You know, there's the political voices, there's the reading the newspaper, listening to the news, the feed that comes in social media. There's all those political things that go around in our head. Or then there's the educational voices that come in and you know, tell us this is the best way to do something or this way or this way. Or there's the spiritual voices, this podcast or that podcast or this worship song or that. And, you know, all of them are great. Well, some of them aren't. But there's lots of competing voices. And so I get a little concerned for myself and I think, am I listening too much to all those other things? And how much am I listening to this voice? Some voices are clearly wrong and we, you know, we discard them. Some are interesting and so we kind of grab onto them. Some are good, but is Jesus' voice the predominant voice in my life? Can I hear it over the top of the other things that are going on? And do I even recognize it when he speaks? They're just things that, you know, from one little story, when we just start asking those questions, it starts unpacking a whole lot of other things. You know, Jesus actually was a little bit worried about this himself. He says down in verse 43 of chapter 5 in John, said, I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honour each other, but you don't care about the honour that comes from the one who alone is God. You know, we have a world that raises people up and honours them for different things that they do and different things that they say. But it's Jesus who's the one that needs to have that honour. It's Jesus that it deserves the voice to be loudest in our world. And I just think, I mean, I think for me, and I just do think it's time that we stop listening to umpteen other voices and listen more to Jesus. But how do we do that? We don't have the benefit of him wandering through our church today, you know, oh, just sit down next to you and have a little chat. That would be really good. I would really appreciate that just one day, any day. I don't know. There's sometimes you hear about someone that might have heard an audible voice which they know was Jesus. I think, oh, how good would that be? But it's, you know, it's very rare. So how can I distinguish his voice from others? You know, when in our family and you spend a lifetime listening to them, you don't always want to, but you do. I'm not talking about anyone particular. People take offense, I don't know. Oh, gee, get back on track. The point was, we can distinguish the voices of people in our family. You know, we know who it is who's yelling up the hallway because they want the toilet paper. You know, we can distinguish who those people are because we know them. We've spent time to them. We talk to them and, you know, we just hang out. You know, we even find that we can distinguish the voices of maybe radio presenters or famous people. When you hear a snippet of it, you kind of know who that is because it's a voice that is played often. And so really the best way to distinguish the voice of Jesus is to get to know him. Just get to know him. And we do this firstly by reading. Like, this is the place we get to know Jesus. This is who he is. not just the New Testament, the whole Bible. Believe it or not, it's the whole Bible. Every single part of this book points to Jesus. It's all about him. And so whether we're discovering something strange in Exodus or, you know, something, you know, from way back in Revelation, all of it is pointing to Jesus. And so read it, you know, or listen to it. If reading is not your thing, stick it on, you know, stick it on iTunes, whatever, those things, audio. There's so many apps now that you can actually listen to it. You can get a favourite voice reading it to you if you want. But get that word into you, because this is who Jesus is, every single part of it. And as we read it, we become familiar with who he is. We start to understand the way he talks. We start to see the way he does things and the way he doesn't do things. We see the way that the things that he does like and the things that he doesn't like. And as we read through that, we get this great picture of who Jesus is, and we actually discover that this word on the page actually starts becoming alive and active in us as well. That it's no longer just words on a page, but these words start growing out and forming the person of Jesus in who we understand him to be. It's no longer just my opinion of who Jesus is. It's no longer Billy Graham, you know, or another famous evangelist or someone who's trending at the moment. It's no longer someone else's opinion of who Jesus is and someone else's idea of what he says. It's actually his voice speaking to you about who he is and what he wants to tell you about himself. The more we get to know who he is and what he's like, the clearer we'll then hear his voice in our world. Because this word really will come alive and speak not just of his character, but then it'll actually start speaking to you, into your personal situation, into, you know, your circumstances. It'll celebrate with you in your joys, and he'll cry with you in your heartaches. So how do we listen then? You know, we've got the reading down pat. Then how do we listen to hear that voice? Well, it actually just starts. So I think the simplest way to start is actually just to sit and listen. And I know that sounds really weird, but, you know, just have a time in your day where there's nothing else. There's no distractions. There's no other voices. There's no music. There's nothing else trying to compete with you, with Jesus. And in that space, just, you know, reflect on, firstly, what you might have just read, and ask him, what does it say about you, Jesus? And listen. I don't think you'll hear an audible voice. That would be nice. And I know that sounds really scary, but I actually think this is the best way to start, because it's amazing what happens in that space. It's like your eyes kind of get opened. And just like when I read that passage before, I've read that a lot of times. But this time I was actually looking for Jesus to say something, because I had to prepare a message. But, you know, if I go in with this each time and read something and then just say, what does this tell me about you, Jesus? Suddenly things shift, because we're open to an answer We're open to him showing us something, to opening our eyes, to, you know, depositing something in our spirit. I know that you will learn something new about Jesus in that space. I know that you will hear something. I know that you would feel his presence. And it's not necessarily about getting an answer. You're not always looking for an answer to something. This is simply about getting to know Jesus. Because when we get to know him, when we start practicing in those smaller spaces, listening for his voice and seeing what he speaks to us about him, when the noise comes louder, when the life gets busy, that voice of Jesus can start cutting through and it can start shifting things. And we can start hearing in the hard moments, in the confusing moments, in the like the full bits, we hear that voice that says, actually, I love you. Actually, you're really important right now. And actually, I really want you to just do this or do that. I get things shift in that space. And then the third thing, after we've read and we've listened, is that there's actually evidence that we've heard correctly. Because the evidence of Jesus' voice is that there's life. The evidence of Jesus' voice is that there's hope, that there's love, that there's compassion, that there's transformation, that there's growth. Not everything we hear we'll think is great, but the evidence of listening and obeying will be life and hope and love and compassion. If we don't see those things, then we need to question, is it actually Jesus? The result of listening and obedience is life around us. And little things will start happening. You know, we might change from being self-absorbed in the moment. You know, at work, you know, you get into that zone. I do anyway, and I just get absorbed into the zone of what I'm doing. But then there is evidence of Jesus starting to work in my world and speak into my life and me hearing him. Is that in the middle of that zone when someone needs to interrupt me, I can step out and I can enter in to someone else's space. I can include other people into my world. I can go from being just self-absorbed to helping other people. I bring blessing to others. Or it might be that, you know, we're kind of tied down with quite a legalistic opinion about something, an issue. But as we start letting Jesus' voice and his character infiltrate into our heart, into our mind, into our thoughts, it opens out and we bring love with us when we deal with people that we might not agree with them, we might not understand them, they might do life differently, but I'm able to bring love and I'm not going to judge because Jesus doesn't. It starts shifting a whole lot of things. We embrace the ones that others reject and ignore. And it's not like we've tried to do these things. It's simply from the influence of getting to know Jesus more and more and more, and his character being the thing that we identify with, his character to be the thing that we long for, his character, his values, his life being the thing that then begins to impact us as we listen and hear him. Getting to know Jesus, it just takes time. And, you know, if we truly hear his voice, if we truly want to hear his voice, it just takes time. And it starts small. But it produces fruit. And so as scary as this book seems, even if you don't understand half of it, I don't think that matters. We're not looking for a theological understanding of everything. I'm not able to argue with someone about why God did certain things in different ways that I don't understand. What I'm looking for is to get to know the person of this word, the person of this book, because that person's life in me will transform me. It will bring me life. It will bring me compassion and just an ability to then pour life into the people around me. And we might have lots of, you know, confusing questions and all sorts of things in our head. But if you can kind of imagine, if we're just lying beside that pool in Bethesda, you know, it's like those people, they're waiting for someone else to deal with it. They're waiting for someone else to stir the water. They're waiting for someone else to help them in. They're waiting for someone else to come up with the answer to their problems. They were letting other people determine their path and their freedom. They were just sitting there waiting. I think it's time to remove that. Let's stop waiting for other people to bring us the message, to bring us something. I think let's listen to Jesus and let's just pick up our mat. Let's pick up our mat and walk. Let's just go ourselves. Because the only thing that needs to be is between you and life is to listen to Jesus and just go. You'll find that as you follow Jesus, you begin to know the answers actually that you're looking for, because you know the person who is the answer to everything. So this morning, you know, it just was burning in me that we can all listen. This is possible for absolutely every single person in today's day. We are so privileged because not only do a lot of us have, you know, most of us have had the opportunity to learn to read well. But on top of that, if that part of life has passed us by, we can listen well. We can hear the Bible on a phone, on a CD, on different things. We can listen to it. And so this morning, I just wanted to come and encourage you that getting to know Jesus is not complicated. Getting to know Jesus is just simply picking up your mat and going. And so this morning, if you feel like you want to hear his voice better, I would just simply say make a commitment to read, to listen, and to look for the evidence around you of how he's moving, how he's working, and how he's changing you. But also, you know, right now, Jesus might be just at that first point where you don't really necessarily have faith in him. You don't know who he is. But this morning he's simply saying, do you want to get better? Do you want life? The way we do that today is we pray. It's a prayer that says, yeah, Jesus, I want your life in me. And I'd love to do that this morning. If you feel like that you're at that point where you might not have faith, you don't know who Jesus is, but you want to just listen and go, then I'd like to pray that with you. So if we just want to close our eyes, just want to pray that. And then I want to pray that we can hear his voice better, louder and clearer. So if you want to pray with me, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my life. I ask to be born again. Forgive me for my sin and make me clean. Make me your child and help me to follow you. Thank you, God, for saving me. And Lord God, I just also pray this morning. Jesus, our world is full of voices. Help us to shut everything else out and just fall in love with who you are in your Bible. To get to know you, to hear you, to see what you're like. And let that transform us so that we too can bring the evidence of your love, your compassion to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. James.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.